Well, good morning. It's good to be here. Good to be asked to be able to take the platform here and to present the Word of God. I was thinking on a totally different vein last night, and I switched. I came downstairs this morning, and I got up early and read for a little bit and totally switched gears. So I went down to Kelly, and I said, I'm switching gears totally. And she said, oh, that makes me nervous. And so hopefully that the Lord will work through this. It's, what was the name of the first song that you guys sang, Wayne? Sorry,
Power in the Blood.
There's Power in the Blood. And we sang a chorus. And I don't know if, I never counted the times, but my guess is that we said the word blood, I bet you, over a dozen times here in our song service here this morning. More than that, because there was a number of choruses. Blood. Billy Graham was probably one of the best that I know of taking a passage of Scripture, and he was a man that knew the Scriptures very well. A great evangelist over many years, still living today. But he had a great way of bringing truth and simplifying it. And so that's what I want to do this morning. I want to simplify a truth. Something that is very important. Most of you know what an MVI is, motor vehicle inspection. Well, I was just fined recently because I didn't have a motor vehicle inspection. But that's what we want to do this morning. We want to use MVI, three acronyms. I'll take a page out of my father-in-law's, what he does. He uses acronyms. And we want to talk about the idea of blood. We want to talk about the meaning of blood in the Scriptures. We want to talk about the value of the blood of the Lord Jesus. And we want to talk about the importance of the blood. Now, all three of those are really part and parcel of the same, but it works for my outline, so I'm going to use those three. The meaning, the value, and the importance of the blood. There are evangelical circles today, or so-called evangelical circles today, that don't want to use the idea or the word blood. In the old economy, and not that we're going to go through all of that because I want to simplify this, but there's many in our world today who are biblically illiterate, don't have any understanding when it comes to blood in the gospel, in the presentation of the gospel. They think that that is so out there, and we ought not to use the word blood. But we only have to go to the Scriptures to realize that the usage of the word, the physical usage of the word blood, is a very, very important part of the gospel. The meaning of the blood. What is it all about? The value of the shed blood and the importance of the shed blood. The importance of the shed blood, the danger of not coming into the good of the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, from a physical perspective, you students, you young people have taken biology. I was going to actually major in biology. I'm glad I didn't go down that path because I wouldn't have made much of a biologist. But in biology, you understand that blood, in the physical sense, in the human body, is an organ. It is actually a vital organ. We can do a lot without maybe the full use of our kidneys, or we can lose a leg or an arm, but we cannot function without our blood. It is a lifeline. So in a physical sense, without blood, it would be fair to say there is no life. So let's talk about the meaning of the shed blood. And one thing we need to keep in mind when we're talking about blood in the Scriptures, and primarily when it's concerning the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, on Calvary, which was the place where he shed his blood. And we're going to talk about why that is important, because really, it is vitally important. But when we talk about the meaning of the shed blood, we also need to think about the place where he shed his blood. We're going to start there. It was at a physical place called Calvary, where he shed his blood. And remember, very importantly, in the presentation of the gospel, we need to remember what when the Lord Jesus shed his blood, it was voluntary. You that were here this morning in the breaking of bread, and there was some talk about what men and women in history at that place called Calvary, or even prior to the place called Calvary, what they physically did to the Lord Jesus was horrific. But when it comes to the place of Calvary, when the Lord Jesus shed his blood, when he physically and voluntarily gave up his life for sin, what does that place represent? That place called Calvary here this morning, what does it represent, or how does it represent humanity? Well, I'd like to suggest to you here this morning that the place called Calvary and all the events, if you're not aware of them this morning, I look in the audience and I think most of you are aware of the events around Calvary. We would know this, that men and women rejected the Lord Jesus. All the things that were performed against him physically, the mocking, the scourging, the whipping, the nailing of him to that cross in crucifixion, were all a display of man's disdain against the one who claimed to be God. We were represented there at that place called Calvary. 2016, you here that are not saved this morning represent that group of people that did not like the Lord Jesus, that disdained him, that wanted him put out of the way. And ultimately, that was their goal, to get rid of this one who claimed to be God. I just need to put my glasses on to get my next train of thought because I can't see it very well. We see in our day and age today, going back to the cross, because that is the place in which the Lord Jesus voluntarily shed his blood. And we haven't got to really what that blood in essence means to you here this morning. But we see people that wear crosses, don't we? In our day and age, we see pop stars wearing crosses. I don't know their hearts, but I think some of the form of that wearing of cross today is some kind of I'm religious. It has some form of religion to it, doesn't it? Whatever reason people wear the cross, I don't know all the reasons. But the cross, in representing humanity, was a disdain to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's get that clear here this morning. They hung him at the place called Calvary. They hung him. They did not want this one called Jesus and all the claims that he made on planet Earth in the 30 years of perfect life and 3 years of ministry. It ended in a terrible act at a place called Calvary, where humanity nailed him to a cross, the worst form of death at that time. They thought they would do away with him forever. When they nailed him, when they arrived at the top of a hill called Calvary, they nailed him to that cross, and he hung there, and he shed his blood. He shed his blood. What is the significance of blood to you this morning? It flows through our veins. It flowed through the veins of the God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ. The prophet Jeremiah would say, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" The Gospel of John says this, "And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil." Because we are sinners, it's still true today. Sin is our nature. We need a new nature. We do not have the ability to love light because we are marred by sin. That's why it's a grace gospel. It's good news. It's grace. We are guilty of rejecting and hanging the Savior of the world. The psalmist would say this, "Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness." Jesus shed his blood. The meaning of the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ really ties in a lot of ways, in the value of it. What is so significant about blood? Well, we know in the old economy, and I don't want to go there a whole lot, but in the Old Testament, there was a continual sacrifice for sins. They would kill animals, and they would sprinkle the blood over a sacrifice, and it would rise up to God, and that would be a covering for sin. But when the Lord Jesus came to planet Earth, there was something new. There was something new that came about. And it says in the Scriptures, "Once in the end of the ages hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself." By the sacrifice of himself. By his shed blood. See, the problem here this morning and in our world today is that we often hear it said, and I've heard it said, that if you don't go to heaven, you'll pay for your own sins. And I don't believe that to be true for a moment. You will never pay for your own sins. Because the value of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, when he died on Calvary's cross, paid for the sins of the entire world, past, present, and future. The only reason that you will not make it into heaven concerning the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ is your rejection of that sacrifice. You see, payment was made at Calvary by the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to tell you, that blood and the reason that it is effective to bring you into a relationship with God is because it was a perfect sacrifice. The perfect God-man. See, you could never pay for your sins because you are imperfect. But there was a perfect sacrifice. You may have heard this often here, maybe from this platform. New information, but it's very important information. The value of the shed blood. Peter would say this, "For as much as you know that you are not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversations received by traditions from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot." Salvation will come to you only through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not talking about in the gory sense of blood, as in the Old Testament where there was sacrifice and there was guts and gore. I'm talking about a man like you and I who was perfect, who had a plan way before you were ever born to go to the place and to be rejected of man. I'm talking about a man the God-man who was perfect in every way. But you see, there's a problem in amongst this whole thing. The fact that Jesus Christ, God's Son, died for sin. Here's the problem that lies in our circles here today. In order for that to be effective to bring you into heaven, you need to understand this, that the sin he died for was your sin. The sin that Jesus Christ died for was your sin. Maybe you're here this morning and you don't feel the need to have the blood of Jesus Christ cleanse you, to save you, to bring you into heaven. Maybe you think that by your life, imperfect as it is okay. Then I would pose the question that has often been posed to those people that have that train of thought was, why would Jesus Christ ever die? Why would he allow men to beat him? Why would he hang between heaven and earth and say, oh my God, why hast thou forsaken? Why would he do that if you, in your own self-righteousness, think that you could make a way of heaven to heaven on your own? Why would he do it? Only you can answer that. The reason Jesus Christ died at Calvary was because he loved you. And he gave himself for you so that you could be reconciled. That's a big word. Brought back to a relationship with the God of heaven. Because sin separates us from God. You see, the difference between the perfect work of Christ, it was a perfect work. It was a complete work. You see, I'm a project manager for a company, and I do renovations. And I've been with the company long enough that I've started to do renovations again on the same buildings. And when I finish a project, I look back and I say, you know what? This is a pretty complete work. I've done a pretty good job. All the tradespeople have done their job, and it's a store that's fresh and it's new. But you know, the reality is, I'm starting to do those same stores again. And the reason that I use that is because it wasn't complete, was it? Because sin and the deterioration and all the things that happen in that setting, not so much sin, but things that happen in a renovation setting is things get worn out. It's not complete. There's nothing complete in this world. But when Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary said, "It is finished," really what he was saying is the work to save you for eternity is done. It's complete. It's finished. Nothing else that you rely on planet Earth before you die will ever be sufficient to bring you into heaven. The importance of the shed blood. How does it matter to you? Has it ever affected you? Well, it affected me. I can go back to a time in my life when I was affected, number one, by my sin. My sin bothered me. The things that were not complete in my life, the things that I did that I knew were not right, it affected me. I am not here to do that work. God does that work. Does your sin affect you? Do you lay your head on the pillow at night and think about the things that are not right in your life? Does it affect you? Do you think about them? That's a work of God in your life. You see, God will not allow any sin into his heaven. He's a just God. And so you have to be made right or justified or seen as with a clean slate before God. And he'll not allow you into heaven because he's just. And so the Lord Jesus is the justifier. He's just and he's the justifier. He's the one that did it all. He paid the price for your sin. He was the only one that could because he was perfect. And so much so that after that horrible scene at Calvary, when he made payment for your sin, God the Father raised him again. And he said, I'm satisfied. In the 3 hours when I punished you, I'm satisfied with the work. And that work is enough to save every boy, girl, man, and woman in this world. It's enough. It's enough. Jesus Christ's sacrifice at Calvary is enough to save even you. But the reality is, some of you will not go to heaven. You'll not make it. The Bible teaches very clearly that there's a broad road. And the way of the world, in all its religion, in all its thinking, humanism, there's a great number that will never get to heaven. And so, not that this is the predominant character of the Lord Jesus, because when we look at the Lord Jesus in the Gospels, his predominant theme was reaching out, bringing attention to people's sin, giving them a vein, giving them an avenue to repent, turn away from it. God is long-suffering. He's not willing that any should perish. His desire is that everyone here come to know their sins forgiven. That's his desire. His desire is not judgment here. Let's be very clear about that this morning. God's desire here this morning for you is not judgment. It is not wrath. He is a merciful God. Had that been the case, he would have wiped out planet Earth. You wouldn't be sitting here this morning if he wasn't a God of grace, if he wasn't a God of mercy. And today, you could come in on the offer of salvation through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the offer this morning. Turn from your sin, the thing that divides you, the thing that separates you from God, and turn to the living Savior, the one who finished the work, the one who completed it. It is finished. It's forever there. It's my only hope. It is my only plea. It is enough that Jesus died and that he died for me. I'm no Billy Graham, but you know what? What I just said there in a hymn of a verse is so clear to me. I pray it's clear to you. It is enough that Jesus died and that he died for me. That's salvation. By faith, for by grace. That means God's desire is reaching to you in grace. You don't deserve it. Trust me, I didn't deserve it. I deserved judgment. For by grace are ye saved. That means the opposite is you may be lost here this morning and you need to be saved. For by grace are you saved through faith, through believing, through resting. Not of yourselves. It's a gift. It's a gift of God through Jesus Christ our Lord. My intention here this morning, or yesterday when I was preparing this, was to speak on wrath. That's what I was going to do. I was going to speak on different types of wrath portrayed in the Scriptures, judgment that God poured out upon nations, poured out upon individuals, apostates, people that had no thought of God, Sodom and Gomorrah, wiping out entire cities. I want to make it very clear here this morning that if you don't come in on the offer of salvation, if you do not trust Jesus Christ as your only hope, repent of your sin and rest in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ, God's perfect sacrifice. My Bible tells me that the wrath of God hovers over you. It says that that wrath is undiluted. You know what that means? He's not going to hold back. He's not going to hold back on the fire, in the lake of fire. He's not going to hold back. As a matter of fact, my Bible tells me that he will not even remember you after he banishes you into that place. That's not the gospel, but that's reality. That's the truth. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses me from all sin. Sin's the problem. I've got the problem taken care of. I'm secure in the person of Jesus Christ. Are you secure? Hope I've been clear. Hope I haven't roared at you. It's not my intention. My intention for you here this morning is that you would understand, maybe for the first time, that Jesus Christ can't do any more. He's provided a way that only he could do. But there's sin in the way. And you need to deal with your sin, because if you don't, you'll not be in heaven. And you could say, like Paul the Apostle, and I can say it, and you that know Jesus Christ can say this: the one who loved me and gave himself for me. That's his desire. That's my desire. Trust him. He is absolutely trustworthy. September 10th, 1988, I trusted in Jesus Christ as my Savior. He has never failed me. He will never fail me. Because you know what? He is perfect. He is God. And he is secure, and I am secure in the palm of his hand. Once saved, always saved. Is there an amen to that? Once saved, always saved. Trust him. He's the most trustworthy person you will ever meet. Let's pray. Father, we are a blessed people. We thank thee for the good news, the shed blood of the Lord Jesus. We're thankful that there is great meaning in that blood. It makes us recognize that we were against him. We recognize the value in the fact that it was perfect. The sacrifice for sin was perfect because he was a perfect God-man. And the importance of people trusting in it. It's the only way to get to heaven. It's by the only means. It's not gore. It's just understanding the sacrifice for sin. So, Father, I just pray for your Spirit to work in the hearts of those that know not the Savior. May we as Christian, those of us that have trusted him, appreciate, maybe to a bigger measure this morning, our salvation. And may it prod us on to live for the one who loved us and gave himself for us. We pray these things in his name. Amen.